If great coaching is such a critical component of success, why is it so largely ignored for enhancing sales effectiveness? Only a select few sales organizations are willing to make coaching part of their DNA because they get the importance of it.
Welcome to the ClinLab Sales Podcast, bringing fresh insight for focusing your sales strategy. Our host is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training. This is number one of two episodes on how to optimize your lab's sales performance. Here, Peter talks about sales coaching and how it differs from sales management or sales consulting. He then describes two kinds of coaching, developmental coaching and field coaching. This episode dives deep into developmental coaching and what to expect from the experience.
Irrespective if the person is a performer, an athlete, a businessman, whatever profession, top people in any industry are continuously trying to improve their skills, and they don't do it on their own. If great coaching is such a critical component of success, why is it so largely ignored for enhancing sales effectiveness? Only a select few sales organizations are willing to make coaching part of their DNA because they get the importance of it. Without sales coaching, sales reps struggle to remain competitive and win the battle. It's just that simple. The problem with managing. Many commercial labs and some hospitals create a job description for a sales manager position. The document lists many duties such as monitoring sales numbers, hiring, firing, resolving problems, training, writing performance evaluations, and setting goals. There may also be a comment about expectations of field work with direct reports. Some job descriptions may omit the central aspect of developing the sales reps into top-notch marketing people through a process called coaching. Managers need to change their skill set before they can be considered a true coach. It's a natural manager bias to fall squarely into the "let me tell you" model, as opposed to an alternative approach in which salespeople analyze and remove their own obstacles. If a manager doesn't have a defined process that moves their salespeople forward so they can achieve greater results, it really begs the question, what is the true role of the manager? Are they managing the status quo? Managing the underachievers? Managing paperwork? Great managers realize that one of their key responsibilities is to maximize the productivity of their team. The consequence of not having everyone running on eight cylinders and living up to their potential can be demoralizing and severe. Not meeting budget, low morale, and even worse, employee turnover. What is good sales coaching? There are two aspects to coaching. First is field coaching. The manager talks to his field representative after the two of them have been on a specific sales or service call. Things that went well, things that could have been done or said differently, a review of newly taught sales skills, and so forth. The second is developmental sales coaching. The manager establishes a specific time to have a sit-down meeting with the sales rep to review obstacles, performance, territory issues, and so forth. This article will concentrate on the latter, developmental sales coaching. Developmental sales coaching is a discipline, a philosophy, and a methodology all rolled into one. It's also a commitment to ongoing improvement. It helps salespeople recognize and eradicate the obstacles that are impinging on their sales success. It's meant to be proactive and consistent, not a reactive strategy. Developmental sales coaching is characterized in three ways. First, it employs questions as opposed to giving all the answers. It helps salespeople learn how to analyze their own performance and take responsibility for their development. Second, it focuses on a single concern at a time. This gives the issue the focus it deserves and moves to a quicker resolution. And third, it separates evaluation from development. Each one has its own place, but not at the same time. Four core responsibilities of a good sales coach. 1. Bring out the best in people by supporting and maximizing the rep's strengths and avoid focusing on weaknesses. 2. Ask the right questions, but may not have all the answers. Third, provide structure and support so people can begin to self-generate the results they want on their own. And fourth, request change of behavior, even though it may take time. Coach versus boss. When you ask managers what words come to mind when they think of the term coach, they use words like role model, collaborate, add value, communicate, and support. When you ask for synonyms for the word boss, they use words such as control, authority, power, status, and dictate. Even the dictionary defines boss as someone who gives orders in a domineering manner, someone who is in control of a group. It stands to reason why people prefer to be coached instead of bossed. But we don't have a sales manager. There are many labs, both private and hospital outreach programs, that don't have a sales manager. This is understandable, as many can't justify the expense nor see the value in a sales supervisor overseeing one or two field representatives. It's optimal, however, to hire a professional sales manager or coach for a day or two a month just to provide coaching for their marketing person. The cost is nominal when compared to a full-time employee, and the results can be significant in terms of sales productivity. Observing the rep and client interactions and how a sales rep manages his territory is highly effective for both the field person and the organization. If routine manager on-site visitations are not feasible, scheduled phone conversations, while not as optimal, can be helpful as a second-tier system. 5 steps in developmental sales coaching. During a sit-down meeting, it may seem much easier and less time-consuming to tell or direct the salesperson to do something, but it comes at a cost. It's a boomerang effect in that salespeople who have not had to think through what obstacles are intruding on their performance will turn back to the manager for the answers. They don't have the ownership of the solution or even a sense of commitment to execute it. Therefore, they are less likely to change. There is an old Chinese proverb that aptly applies. Tell me and I forget. Show me and I remember. Involve me and I understand. The 5 steps in a developmental sales coaching experience are: 1. Build rapport and set the purpose. 2. Compare views of the situation. 3. Consider the obstacles. 4. Remove the obstacles. And 5. Commit to action. The step 1, build rapport and set the purpose. Paying attention to the humanistic side of the relationship, the manager can help both himself and the sales rep feel more comfortable for the ensuing dialogue. The supervisor should set the tone that he is there to help, even if the message is a difficult one, like failure to meet goals, a complaint from a client about the representative. A supervisor needs to take a moment to create the atmosphere that both individuals will be working together to improve or resolve the situation. Following this opening rapport-building comment should come a statement about clarifying the purpose of getting together in a non-judgmental and neutral way. Beginning with, "John, we have a real problem with your sales numbers." This is a surefire way to create defensiveness on the sales rep's part. It also sends a message that the supervisor has made up his mind about the situation. These kinds of negative statements don't encourage an open dialogue, and the salesperson may feel that the entire discussion is over before it's even begun. With rapport built and a clear purpose, the manager is ready to move on to step 2, how the sales rep sees and analyzes the situation. Just as there are 2 steps in the first part, there are 2 components in step 2. The sales rep's perception of the state of affairs, and the manager's view. We all know the old adage, ladies first. In this case of coaching, the idea is the same. It's always the salesperson who talks before the sales manager. If the coach gives his perspective too soon, salespeople will likely defend their actions as opposed to problem solve. It's important for the coach to ask questions and then probe further into answers offered by the sales rep. By doing this, it can help the employee analyze their situation and performance and then consider other options. Because the manager is asking and not telling, it helps build a collaborative approach that eventually leads to the rep buy-in to the action plan. Following the representative's responses, it's time for the supervisor to offer his opinion of the circumstances. Feedback should be limited to one priority at a time. Start by acknowledging what the salesperson has said and reinforcing the strengths, followed by areas of improvement. The more specific the comments, the clearer the picture for the sales rep. It's subsequently important to ask the representative for reaction on what is stated before progressing any further. If there is disagreement between each other's perceptions, the manager should get concordance to identify and deal with the differences. On step number 3, we talked about consider the obstacles. As the representative and manager compare views on the situation, it's also important to get a two-sided stance of the obstacles. Here again, it's key to maintain that they talk first strategy in this step. Simply ask the salesperson to identify the problem. What do you think is the hindrance in this situation? The manager must listen, acknowledge, and dig deeper until the representative has thought through what is interfering with successful behavior. Multiple questions are especially helpful to assist the situation, such as, "Well, that's one possibility. What do you think may be another?" Or, "Why do you feel that way?" Once the sales rep has analyzed his position about an obstacle, it's appropriate for the coach to offer his perspective that will reinforce or add value to what the rep said. If the salesperson accepts the coach's ideas, then it's time to move on to step number 4. Remove the obstacles. After both sides have identified the hurdle, stay on course with keeping the representative responsible to remove it by asking the simple question, "What do you think you can do to change this situation?" This is a critical point because many inexperienced managers typically move into a directive mode versus a collaborative approach. It may be surprising to hear the creative solutions suggested by the salesperson. If the coach is disappointed by a lack of insight or motivation, that too is important to understand because it helps guide what areas need attention. The point is, exhaust as many themes as possible about removing obstacles from the representative's point of view. Once the sales rep has proposed his ideas, then it's time for the manager to agree, if it's appropriate, or if necessary, to add additional helpful comments. Then check for agreement with the rep. It's not always feasible to eliminate all of the problems at once. To make a significant improvement in sales performance, frequently, all it takes is just removing one issue during a sit-down meeting. Step number 5 was commitment to action. This final step has 3 components. There's an action step, secondly, there's summarize, and third, there's encouragement. The sales rep needs to take the responsibility for the action step, not the manager. The question now becomes, based on our discussion, what are you thinking of doing at this point? There needs to be strict clarification as to what the rep is going to do and by when. Suggestions by the representative must be things that are in his direct control and that are appropriate. The manager should stay clear of any obligation. A part of sales coaching is helping salespeople believe that they are in control of their own results. It's important that both the representative and the manager agree on the expectations set forth during the discussion. At the conclusion of the meeting, the sales rep should summarize what was decided and by what timeline. Following this recap, it's important to offer words of encouragement by reinforcing support and confidence. "I know you can do it," or "I know I can count on you," or "I'm here if you have questions." These all translate into confidence for the salesperson. Final thoughts. Great coaching is undeniably one of the most potent tools to enhance anyone's capabilities, irrespective of what he or she does for a living. Especially in the area of sales, it's vital in a 15-minute coaching session to bring out the best and empower people to do the right thing. The manager guides his sales staff in analyzing their strengths and areas of improvement. He learns where they are stuck and helps broaden their perspectives so they can see other possibilities. The premise of coaching is to develop a safe place to co-create new possibilities. A sales manager who has, quote, all of the answers equates to the antithesis of great coaching. The base of the coaching model begins with the belief that questions are at the very core of all of the coach's tools and strategies. Ongoing coaching needs to become part of the sales organization's DNA if the company expects to develop the salespeople, optimize their performance, and grow the business.
You've been listening to the ClinLab Sales Podcast. If you want to get all the episodes, you can subscribe using iTunes or any podcast application you like. If you found this valuable, please leave a review at iTunes. That helps a lot. For more information or to contact Peter Francis for sales training, visit clinlabsales.com. Thanks for listening.